Please remain standing as I read this morning's text. This is from Joshua chapter 5. Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and he saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." And Joshua did so. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Morning. If you are a student, an elementary school student, you can now be dismissed to go back to the back. My name is Luke Martin. I'm not normally the person that preaches here, but I am the college-age leader, college-age ministry leader, whatever you want to call it, that's me. So many of these guys over here know me. I'm excited to preach today. A battle is coming. A conflict is ahead of you. All of us are facing challenges. All of us feel the anticipation of a coming challenge, the anticipation of a conflict, anticipation of a battle. All of us feel it. For many of you in this room, you felt it like a month ago with the Super Bowl and your Chiefs fans. I don't know why, but you are. Right? Hey, go Raiders. You're Chiefs fans, and you were on the edge of your seat watching that game. You might have paid for the whole seat, but you only used the edge of it. It was a good game. It was a good one to watch. You felt the anticipation. For others of you, you might be a high school athlete in here. And a couple weeks ago, you got to the state basketball tournament. You got to go play the state games in how we wanted, but you felt the anticipation of those games. Now, many of us don't spend time on a football field. We don't spend time on a basketball court. But we do spend time living in this world, and we feel the anticipation of the challenges of a conflict with a coworker, or a conflict with a boss. If they're in this room, don't look at them. Or a conflict with an employee, still don't look at them. Or maybe you're just a child and you have a conflict with your parents, or a parent with your child, or a teammate, or a classmate, or a brother, or a sister, or a spouse. Not my spouse, we're kids. But all of us face challenges. All of us face Jericho. Today we're going to be talking about Jericho. And when I ask you to recall your Jericho, I want you to recall your challenge, your conflict, your boss, your teammate, whoever it is. I want you to recall them. Recall your Jericho. For me, my Jericho is anger. A couple months ago, I'm not going to go into details, but something occurred with my family that caused me deep anger, deep frustration. That's my Jericho. So when I ask you, recall Jericho, recall your challenge, recall your conflict. The Israelites, that's who really dealt with Jericho, that's who we're talking about today. The Israelites were preparing for battle. They were preparing for the anticipation, or they had anticipation because of the battle. And now let me walk through why they have anticipation. So a long time before this, we have the Exodus. The Israelites exited Egypt. They exited slavery. And they made their way through the wilderness for 40 years. And Numbers chapter 1 tells us they've come to the land of the Amorites, the Amorite kings. Their names are Sihon and Og. Weird names. Don't name your kids that. Sihon and Og. They don't matter because Israel defeated them. God said, "Do not worry about the battle because I am fighting for you. I have already delivered them into your hands." So they defeated the Amorite kings. They made Sihon and Og irrelevant, and they moved on. And they got up to the Jordan River. The Jordan River, they were here. They were on the eastern bank. They could see the promised land, the land promised to them by God several years ago to their father Abraham. The land promised them by God that they were remembering during Egypt, during slavery. The land promised them was right there. They could see it. But this wasn't like Buck Run Creek. This wasn't the Marmaton River. This was the Mississippi River of rivers. This was the Jordan River. They're not going to wade across it. They're not going to swim across it. It was too deep. They were too scared. They had to carry the Ark of the Covenant. It wasn't going to happen. But God was with them. God said, I will stop the flowing of the water. I will pile it up at a distance. You will walk on dry land. Very similar to the Red Sea. So they defeated the Amorite kings. They crossed the Jordan River. 3 days later, they celebrate the Passover. The Passover, for those of you that don't know, was a memorial occasion for remembering the Passover that occurred in Egypt, the 10th plague, the angel of death. God said to Moses, command the Israelites to slaughter the lamb and paint its blood over the door frames, and the spirit of death will pass over you, because it knows that you are with me and I am with you. So the Israelites, they defeated the kings. They crossed the Jordan River. They celebrated Passover, and now they're at the doorstep of Jericho, ready for more. They were hungry for it. They were ready. They knew this was their land. They knew this was their promise. The anticipation was high. Today, we're going to look at what it means for God to fight for us. And we're going to look at three different aspects of what it means for God to fight for us. So if you would, please turn with me to Joshua chapter 6, verse 1. Again, that's Joshua 6, verse 1. It's pretty long, so pair with me. I'll try not to be boring. Now, the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry 7 trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times. With the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse, and the army will go up and everyone straight in. So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and have 7 priests carry 7 trumpets in front of it. And he ordered the army, advance, march around the city with an armed guard, going ahead of the Ark of the Lord. When Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the Ark of the Lord's Covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the ark. All this time, the trumpets were sounding. But Joshua had commanded the army, do not give a war cry. Do not raise a shout. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then you will shout. So he had the ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the army returned to camp and spent the night there. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. The 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets went forward, marching before the ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the ark of the Lord. While the trumpets kept sounding, so on the 2nd day, they marched around the city and returned to camp. They did this for 6 days. When God fights for you, he is your qualification. When God fights for you, he is your authority. Now, Daniel read for us Joshua chapter 5, 13 through 15. That is when Joshua receives the battle plan. The battle plan did not come from Joshua's mind. He did not say, Lord, I have the plan. Here it is. and you're going to come alongside me, and we're going to fight Joshua or fight Jericho. No, because he knew when you fight without God, you're fighting with a death sentence. When you fight without the authority of God behind you, you're going to lose. So instead, this is what he does. Imagine you're Joshua, okay? All of us are Joshua in here today. Imagine you're Joshua. The first day, you know, Passover's done. You're ready to enter Jericho. You're ready for the battle. You wake up early in the morning. You know, you make your coffee, your tea, whatever you're fancy. And you walk out to the overlook, and you see the city of Jericho. You say, God, we're here. God, we're ready. Remember, the anticipation is high. God, we are here. What is your battle plan? And God doesn't say a word. You say, okay, God, that's fine. But just know when you're ready, we're ready. So he goes back. I don't know what Israelites did, like, during the day, besides, like, feed their sheep, clean their sheep, shear their sheep. I don't know. They had a lot of sheep. I don't really know what they did. But he goes back home. He feeds his family. He does the thing. He goes to bed. And he gets up early the next morning, pours his coffee, goes out to the overlook, looks over the city, and says, God, we are here. We are ready. What is your plan? Silence. Nothing. No plan. No word. Okay. All right. But just know, when you're ready, we are ready. So he goes back home, takes care of the sheep, does the thing an Israelite does during the day. The next morning, he gets up, or 6 mornings later. I don't know how long it took. And he pours the coffee, courtesy of Branch Coffee Roasters. If you know, you know. And he takes it out. But before he gets to the overlook, he, like, sees somebody. You can, like, picture him, like, looking through the trees. And there's a man standing there. But not just any man. This is a man, like a man, like Chad Cousins, a man. This guy's big. And this guy's got a sword in his hand. And Joshua says, who are you? Are you for us or are you against us? And he says, no. You're like, I don't remember asking a yes or no question. He said, well, what do you want? He said, I am the commander of the Lord's army. Okay, I get it, okay. What do you need from me? He says, take off your shoes, for you are on holy ground. And we read the rest of the beginning part of chapter 6, and that is the command the army commander gives Joshua, saying, this is the battle plan the Lord wants to give you. Joshua went to fight the Battle of Jericho with God's authority. We see this in a second way, because Joshua had already been established as the leader of Israel, but not because of him. Joshua was a nobody. Joshua was timid. If you read with me in chapter 1, verses 5 through 6. It says the following. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. He says, I will be with you. Joshua was a nobody. Joshua was timid. He said, be strong and courageous. We don't have a lot of leaders around here that aren't strong and courageous. But God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Joshua was not qualified. Moses was not qualified. We see a lot of similarities between Moses and between Joshua. Moses had escaped Egypt as a murderer. He's out tending his flock, and he stumbles upon this bush that's on fire, but it's not burning. I don't know if you know anything about science and fire, but when things burn, they burn up. It wasn't burning up. And he hears a voice that says, Moses, take off your shoes, for you are on holy ground. The bush is talking to me. It's got a deep voice. I'm going to take off my shoes. Moses was called in the same way that Joshua was called. Joshua was told, Joshua, take off your shoes, for you're on holy ground. They were both called the same way. They were both timid, because God doesn't call people who are qualified. He qualifies the people he's called. When God fights for you, God is your qualification. God is your authority. We see this one last time with Israel. They were not the greatest army in the land. There were a lot of them. They were very numerous, but they weren't known for their warriors. They weren't known for who they were. They were known because of their God. They were their rep was established in the Exodus with the 10 plagues. Their rep was established in drying up the Red Sea. Their rep was established in defeat of the Amorites. Their rep was established crossing the Jordan River. They weren't who they were because of themselves. They were who they were because of who God was, who God is. When God fights for you, he is your qualification. So I want you to recall your Jericho. Remember, this is your challenge, your conflict, the thing that brings anticipation. Recall your Jericho. When dealing with your Jericho, God is your authority. So don't rely on your own. God has your best interests at heart. God is your qualification, so don't rely on your own. I mentioned Moses and the way he was unqualified. I mentioned Joshua, he was unqualified. Several years, or 100, whatever years later, David comes to the throne. David was a shepherd boy. David was the smallest of his brothers. David was unqualified. David was an adulterer, but God chose David to be the king of Israel. Why? Because God qualified David. Today, the only qualifications that we need are within us as the Holy Spirit. If you go to the baptistry and you immerse yourself and you accept Jesus as your Savior, you receive the Holy Spirit. You receive the authority of God. Because we don't fight our battles alone. We don't face our Jericho alone. When God fights for you, he is your qualification. Turn with me again to Joshua chapter 6, and we are going to finish the text. Again, it's quite a bit, so please bear with me. On the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city seven times in the same manner, except that on that day, they circled the city seven times. The seventh time around, when the priests sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, "Shout! For the Lord your God has given you this city. The city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall be spared, because she hid the spies that we sent. But keep away from the devoted things, so that you will not bring your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and the gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury." When the trumpet sounded, the army shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So they charged straight in and took the city. They devoted the city to the Lord and destroyed with the sword every living thing in it. Men and women, young and old, cattle, sheep, and even the donkeys, everything. Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, "Go into the prostitute's house and bring her out and all who belong to her in accordance with your oath to her." So the men who had done the spying went in and brought out Rahab, her father and mother, her brothers and sisters, and all who belonged to her. They brought out her entire family and put them in a place outside the camp of Israel. Then they burned the whole city and everything in it. But they put the silver and the gold and the articles of bronze and iron into the treasury of the Lord's house. But Joshua spared Rahab, the prostitute, with her family and all who belonged to her, because she hid the men Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho. And she lives among the Israelites to this day. At that time, Joshua pronounced this solemn oath. "Cursed before the Lord is the one who undertakes to rebuild this city, Jericho. At the cost of his firstborn son, he will lay its foundations. At the cost of its youngest, he will set up its gates." So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout the land. When God fights for you, he keeps his promises. When God is fighting on your side, he remains faithful. We can see this in a number of ways in this text. First of all, God upheld his end of the oath to Rahab. Joshua gives a specific command to the army. Probably not when he was like yelling, shout, because that's a lot to say. But they knew everything is destroyed. The cattle, the sheep, and the donkeys, the men and the women, but not Rahab. Rahab will be saved. Why? Because she protected us. We know this also because of the promise of Jesus. I don't know if you guys have read Matthew 1 lately. Probably not. It's a genealogy. Most of us probably avoid those. However, I would like to read Matthew 1 to you here. This is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac, the father of Jacob. Jacob, the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez, the father of Hezron. Hezron, the father of Ram. Ram, the father of Amminadab. Amminadab, the father of Nahshon. Nahshon, the father of Salmon. Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse. And Jesse, the father of King David. David was from the line of Rahab. Jesus was from the line of Rahab. God said, yeah, I'll save you, and I'm going to keep you in Israel. I'm going to keep you in this story forever. We know of Rahab because we know of Jesus. The promise that was saved, the promise that was kept to Rahab was kept all the way to Jesus. We see this for a second way. The wall collapsed. It fell top down. In the Battle of Helm's Deep, in Lord of the Rings, the second movie, there's a part of the movie, a part of the battle where the orcs are sieging the city. But they attack the city with a bomb under the wall, and it blows up from the bottom. In any siege in history, as far as we know, when a man attacks a city, when a man attacks a wall, it's going to fall from where they break it. But this wall fell from the top. This wall collapsed from the top. The Israelites could have done all they were called to do. They could have marched. They could have protected Rahab. They could have done everything to the letter. And that wall was not going to collapse until when? Until God fulfilled his end of the promise. They took Jericho because God fulfilled his promise. When God fights for you, he keeps his promises. I want you to recall real quick the beginning of Joshua 1, the calling of Joshua. He says to Joshua, I will be with you. And the last verse of this text, verse 27, says, so the Lord was with Joshua. We know that God is faithful. We know that when he fights for us, he keeps his promises. So I want you to recall your Jericho. Recall your challenge. Recall your struggle. Recall the anticipation. And I want you to remind yourself to put your trust in God because God has already fulfilled his promise to you. He does this in multiple ways. The first way he does this is prayer. God, in all of his majesty and glory and goodness, in his great mercy, said, I will make myself accessible to them. You don't need service. You don't need Wi-Fi. You don't need speed dial. You don't even need a phone. You can just say, God, I need you. God, be with you. Be with me. God, fight for me. The first promise is prayer. The second promise is scripture. The Bible was written a very long time ago to a very specific group of people. But it was imbued with the breath of God in a way that we today can read it and can feel it, can attach it to our lives, can interpret it, can teach it, can preach it, can study it, and know that it has effect on our lives too. The promise of Scripture. And the third way, ultimately, is the promise of Jesus. Jesus died on that cross for us several thousand years ago. He died, but he didn't just die. He resurrected. And we're going to celebrate that in a couple weeks. He resurrected for us, the promise to us to be a part of his people, to be welcome in his kingdom. He died so we could partake in that promise. Acts 10 even has the inclusion of Gentiles. We are a part of that promise. I am a part of that promise. Why? Because when God fights for you, God keeps his promises. God keeps his promises, but we must be obedient. We've already gone through all of the texts, but there's a couple texts that I want to draw back to you here real quick. Joshua 6:6. This is after the command from the army commander. He said, "So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, 'Take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and have seven priests carry trumpets in front of it.'" Joshua 6:10. "But Joshua had commanded the army, 'Do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout.'" Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests took up the Ark of the Lord. Should be a few more. Yep. Joshua 6:8. "When Joshua had spoken to the people, the seven priests had seven trumpets before they went forward, blowing their trumpets. And the Ark of the Lord followed them. The armed guard marched with the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the Ark. All this time, the trumpets were sounding." A couple more. "On the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city seven times in the same manner, except on that day, they circled the city seven times." I think this is the last one. "When the trumpets sounded, the army shouted, and at the sound of the trumpets, when the men gave a loud shout, they all collapsed. Everyone charged straight in, and they took the city. They had devoted the city to the Lord and destroyed with the sword every living thing in it, men and women, young and old, cattle, sheep, and donkeys." This brings us to our final point, final aspect of God's faithfulness. When God fights for you, we must be faithful to him. When God fights for you, fight for him. When God fights for you, fight alongside of him. We see this because Joshua fought for God. This text we just read, Joshua was obedient to God. The text says that as soon as he heard the commander's word, he went straight to the army, straight to the priests, and said, "This is the game plan." The text tells us that he got up early to do what the Lord said. I am not a morning person. I do not like getting up early. But when I need to be obedient, when I have something to be at, I am up early. I was up early this morning. I was up early because this was important, because obedience means getting up early. Joshua got up earlier. Joshua was ready for the battle. Joshua was ready to give the command. Joshua was obedient. Joshua fought for God. We see this too with the nation of Israel, the army. They did not question the battle strategy. I might have questioned the battle strategy. I'm a human being. I make mistakes. I don't trust God always. So I would have been like, "That's a bad idea. I don't think marching's going to work." I mean, I bet Joshua, Jericho, the city, was like, "What are they doing? Well, they're marching again. Let them be. I'm not going to stop them." Because it doesn't work. But the Israelites didn't say that. The Israelites didn't object. The Israelites just did it. They marched. And they marched, and they marched, and they marched. Because why? Because God told them to. Because they were obedient. Because when God fights for you, you fight for God. So one more time, I want you to recall your Jericho. Recall your conflict. Recall the anticipation. And think, have you been obedient? Many of us, when we're facing our Jericho, when I'm facing my anger, when I face this big anger that I've been feeling, for a long time, I didn't even ask the question, "God, what should I do?" I just wanted to do what I wanted to do. I asked me, myself, and I. I said, "What do I want to do? How do I want to handle this?" I didn't even ask God. But then once I asked God, once you ask God, then the question becomes, do you do what he says? At first, I didn't. There's a couple of people in this room who can attest to that. I was angry, and I said, "I want to hold on to this anger." But God says forgiveness, but anger feels so much better. It doesn't. It doesn't feel better, but it did, because it's sinful. Anger felt better. For you, when you've asked God for help, do you actually do what he says, or do you drag your feet? Do you not march? Do you just saunter along? Do you say, "God, I like your idea, but I like mine better"? I'm not promising a formula here. I'm not saying if you do this and this and this that all your problems will be resolved. But we know how God fights for us. We see the patterns in Scripture. There's a pattern right here in Joshua 6. There's a pattern when Jesus went to the cross. There's a pattern when the Holy Spirit came on to the people. There's a pattern that when God fights for you, he fights for you. The Israelites were able to beat Jericho because of their obedience. They were able to beat Jericho because of God's faithfulness. They were able to beat Jericho because they were obedient, because God gave authority, because he was faithful to them, and they were faithful to him. It was a group effort. So what does this mean for us, ultimately? I'm about finished here. But really, what does this mean for us? Because like I said, this is not a formula. This is a pattern. So how do we become part of the pattern? In preparation for this sermon, I did what I have called a mini Jericho walk. So I literally walked the Battle of Jericho. I didn't do it 6 times and then 7 times. I did it 7 times total. But I walked my Battle of Jericho. This was my battle this week, this sermon. I haven't preached for 2 years. I was nervous. I was anxious. I had anticipation. So I knew I can't do this alone. So I literally walked around this church 7 times this week. Not in the hopes of knocking it down. I grew up here. I like it here. No, but in the hopes of recognizing that what Israel did is exactly what I should do too. So I literally walked 7 times. It's not that bad. It was a nice walk. It was a nice week. So you guys might know the song, Joshua Fought the Battle of Jericho, that one? Yeah, so when that song first came out, it was called Joshua Fit the Battle Around Jericho. And then it was changed. It was changed to what we know today from Elvis Presley and VeggieTales. Joshua Fought the Battle of Jericho. But I want to change it one more time. I want to change it to Joshua Walked the Battle of Jericho. Because it wasn't really a battle. They didn't fight anybody. Victory was theirs because God was with them. They walked right in. They walked around, and then they walked in, and it was theirs. Victory was theirs. So Joshua walked the Battle of Jericho. So as you're facing your Jericho this week, this month, this year, next 10 years, whatever it is, as you approach your Jerichos, as you approach your conflicts, as you approach your anticipation, I challenge you to literally walk your Battle of Jericho. If your challenge is at the baseball field, walk around your challenge 7 times. Walk around the field 7 times. And remember to walk with God and talk with God because he is with you just like he is at home, just as he is on the baseball field. If your issue is at work, walk around your work 7 times. Literally do it. It works. As I was walking this week, like I had some cool ideas for the sermon. None of them have been used. I called my brother during my walk, one of them, and I said, hey, could you play a trumpet like during the service? He's like, yeah, we didn't do it, obviously. But I walked and I talked and God was with me and the anticipation was alleviated. The anxiety was alleviated. Why? Because I was walking with God. If your issue is at your house, I challenge you, walk your Jericho 7 times. Probably not the person. Don't walk around them. They probably won't like it. But walk your Jericho. Think about God. And as you do it, as you walk your Jericho, remember that God is with you, that God gives you his authority. Remember that God is faithful to his promises, that God is with you and God, God is faithful. And lastly, remember that you are also fighting for God. Because when God fights for you, God fights for you. When God fights for you, God is fighting for you. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to be your voice today. Thank you for all of the people here, God, as we all face struggles and we all face challenges. Thank you for the opportunity to understand and recognize that you fight for us. We love you and we praise you. In your name we pray. Amen.